Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Vinchown TV. We're back with me, Kathleen, and Julia. I always forget to introduce myself. So I'm Kathleen, she's Julia, and we're back with Survivor season 45, episode 3, titled No Man Left Behind, said ironically or unironically, which one is it, by Sabaya, because the man's was left behind big time.
Yeah, they was.
This episode had everything. It had sick blindsides at tribal, camp raids, goodwill advantages, and the new immunity idol rules. All of these new advantages just made the camp life so much more fun to watch. I thought this was easily one of the best episodes of the season, obviously, but even of the new era. I just was like, I feel like our mouths were agape a few times during this episode. So yeah, Robbie, what did you think?
I loved it. We were on the edge of our seats, especially during Tribal Council, obviously. Yeah. I thought it was a great episode. I'm coming fresh off of a rewatch, and the only thing that I felt the need to skip was the actual reward challenge itself. Everything else, I was like super stoked to live through a second time. So
I did episode. The exact same
no way.
Thing. Yep. On my rewatch,
I it like came up and I was like, I don't need to see this.
During a reward and immunity challenge, especially for like a podcast, it's like, unless someone like Brandon is just like flopped at the bottom, yeah, and you want to rewatch that, or like someone's going face first in the mud, or like there were some parts where people were eating shit and tripping over the ball parts that were like pretty funny to watch. But other than that, there's not much to report. They're just doing sports. So it's like,
honestly, it's the part like in any season I've ever gone back to watch, I like dissociate during the actual challenges. I'm like, just give me the outcome. Like I could take it or leave it. No, I know that it's probably so fun, like so memorable and so fun for the actual contestants, obviously, because it's what informs who goes to tribal that night or who gets a reward that day or whatever. But yeah, I could do without the challenges.
Could you imagine? They're just surviving. It's just like they're eating bugs. And
and then they're like, pick a random team. They're like, you're going to tribal.
Can you believe they weren't going to eat the crab? Like they were like, oh man, I had two worms in there.
Why'd they have them in
there?
Just
a crab.
Why'd they have them in there then? To eat the worms?
No. The crab snuck in, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
And ate the worms and they were bummed. I'm like, that seems like a gorgeous outcome.
Trade. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, eat
seems
the
like a fair
crab.
Trade.
All right, let's just look at the episode, okay? Let's do it. Not much housekeeping on Survivor this week. Everything seemed like, you know, chill and normal, status quo.
We do have one housekeeping.
Tell me.
Which is that it has become it's become known to us that we had a little bit of a corrections corner from
sure.
our episode of last week, in that Charisma of 25 is apparently a Dungeons and Dragons reference. Rule?
Thank you, Matt Kelly. Appreciate
you
for telling us and setting us straight. We made it our entire personality the last episode and had no fucking idea it could be a D&D.
But I will
reference.
Continue to do so.
Oh, it's great. Our new fixation is that, you know, finding an idol takes entrepreneurship. That's our new
one. I was going to say, I'm going to give you one guess to say, what is my word of the episode? And what is the bit that I'm absolutely for dear life clinging to by the, like my teeth? And it is entrepreneurship.
Basile, I like really like him. He's always going to say something that's just like a little out of pocket. He's just so like confident in himself. And he's a smart guy. He's like an Ivy Leaguer. So he's like, you know, he's just dropping words that are like, are you sure?
What about that was entrepreneurial? I need to know.
Yeah, like getting an immunity idol is like starting a small business.
100%.
I mean, Basile, I will continue to hang on your every word. Keep it coming,
Basile. And I refuse to call you by your first name. It is Basile. Okay. Because that's the energy you've been giving. I know that there are two wolves. One is Drew. One is Basile. Brazil.
What is Brazil?
Brazil. And I will refer to you as Brazil from now on.
Me as well.
Okay, so that's the only housekeeping, is that we do Perfect. Not play Dungeons and Dragons. We don't All do right. it. And you know what? Jake doesn't either. I stand by it. He had no idea what he was saying.
Jake does, except I would, first of all, I would love to hear like Jake being a dungeon master with his accent and being like, I can't even attempt.
I was seeing stats.
Yeah, I can't even. Yeah. Incredible. So anyway, let's get into the episode. And the first order of business is that when Lulu gets back from voting out Brandon, Caleb has a talking head that is almost like, man, Emily is calling out Sabaya when it's the one person she's not supposed to call out. And I'm like, Caleb, Sabaya looks so annoyed. I'm like, Jeff only said two votes. Why wouldn't she call them out? That's like a clear, who's not counting votes at Tribal? Who?
I think it's a complete oversight of Sabaya, Caleb, Sean to not have some sort of story to like, yeah. You know, Emily, she's smart. She's our financial analyst, girly. Like she's gonna run the number. She's gonna run the books, and the books don't add up. Okay. So Correct. Have a story.
Yeah. I just think like that was the moment that she dug her own grave.
You think that was it? You think that was the moment?
I mean, that's the moment that Sabaya dug her own grave. Later, when the Lulu story of the day is that Sabaya wants Caleb out. And she's not wrong for wanting Caleb out, even though that's her boy and that's my boy. Sabaya and Caleb are both on my... No, don't say it. Not until we get to Austin, okay?
Fine.
This is not a visual medium, but Julia was about to call me out for something I said last night when we watched live. Anyway, so Sabaya and Caleb were both on my pool, right? I had Brandon, Caleb, and Sabaya all from Lulu. And so in this episode, again, once Lulu fucking lost again, I knew I was losing somebody. Like, unless somehow Emily went home, which just wasn't going to happen. So, yeah.
Oh, how the tables have turned.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what Emily says. She said, you know, I was thinking about teaming up with Sabaya and Sean to get Caleb out. But once I knew that they lied to me about her finding this Beware advantage, like, I can't trust her. I can't trust her. So, you know, Caleb is someone I can trust. Caleb's never lied to me. I'm going with Caleb. And it was just like a wicked web of lies, or not lies, just like circumstance that was happening and building on each other, which we'll get to when we get to it. But it was excellent. But poor Sabaya, I mean, I'm on the board fucking again.
It was hard to see. It was wickedly talented.
Wickedly talented.
Yeah, I don't know if that was really the nail in the coffin for Sabaya. I think that it's just these like incremental things that Emily, she would never say it because she's a very factual, by the numbers person, as we've said. But I think to someone watching this, she was going off of her intuition. She was going off of her gut, right? To trust Caleb and like to go that route rather than team up with Sabaya and Sean, where it would have made sense and would have been an easy play because Caleb's not there to defend himself. Like, that was the one opportunity they had to really make a plan without him present.
So you're saying that Emily, wait, I don't quite understand what you're saying. You're saying Emily, like,
I'm saying that I believe that Emily has not identified, but what her move was instinctual.
Okay. So, I mean, honestly, we can just get into it because the web is this. Hold on.
I'm saying Girly needs to trust her gut. I'm saying Girly had intuition. She said, I have a good feeling about Caleb. I feel like he brought me under his wing early on. I just think they vibe more. Like, Sabaya was trying to make amends. We saw at the end of the episode where she's like, tells her about the wax idol and like whatever, and she's trying to get her on her side, but it's like too little too late because Emily's gut is already decided.
I like slightly disagree in the fact that I think she was on the fence betwixt the two. She was voting Caleb, but I think the wax was the thing that
you mean Sabaya. She was voting
Sabaya. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. The conversation that she has with Emily is over fruit, the fruit that they won in the reward challenge. And Sabaya tells Emily it's got to be Caleb. Now, is that when she tells her about the wax, or is it later?
It's a little bit later.
Right. So the fruit time is when I think she was on the fence. Once the wax figurine comes out, buried.
Agree.
Yeah. So I mean, like in the beginning, when I say the opening scenes is what dug Sabaya's grave, it's because she lied. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If she didn't lie, then Emily may have a little bit of trust in her, but she lied. Emily was the only one that doesn't know she had this Beware Advantage idol in her pocket. So either way, I said this to you last night. Episode one, Jeff had this like sneaky send Kendra to, you know, the losing tribe, sit there all day, do a vote. It was went so terribly that they edited it out of the episode completely. This new tweak to the immunity idols, like, it couldn't have gone better in this episode. It was absolutely fucking gorgeous.
Iconic.
And the web that I've been saying is the fact that Sabaya told Caleb that she was going to throw his name under the bus before Emily got to Caleb and said, they're voting you, made it seem like, oh my God, who's Caleb going to believe? Because there was a chance where it was going to be a three-way tie. Because they go Sabaya, one for Sabaya, one for Emily, one for Caleb. It was going to be beautiful. And then Sabaya not risking her vote to get to keep that fucking idol of a line. It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
I still do think in my heart of hearts that maybe Emily didn't mean this, but like I believe in my heart of hearts that she was going to stay with Caleb. I think what she did was a good play. I think that was a good move. Like that's something I think is like maybe small and maybe early, but like a resume building move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blindside. Like it's the first blindside of a major player. I really think Sabaya was a strong contender in this game. The theme I keep coming back to in this episode is too hot, too early, or too hard, too fast.
Yep.
I think we see it, and we'll get to this too, is a lot of the moves that we see Drew on the Red or Reba tribe making feel a little bit too hot, too fast.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's rubbing some folks the wrong way. But no, it was, I think Jeff is so fucking pleased, like literally had to cross his legs, please.
He's rock hard.
Rock hard when Sabaya goes and just puts that idol in the fire. Like it was insane. And like honestly, I was too.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, talk about burning fast and bright. That idol melted in like 2 seconds. But let me just say, can I say maybe a controversial opinion?
Please, please.
It was embarrassing of her to be stoking.
I hated it.
Every time
she got up, I was like, sit down.
No,
or just slide a log over there and sit next to the fire. Because I can't have the interruptions.
No. I didn't enjoy her being like, hold on, Jeff. I'm going to go stoke this real quick. Like, I'm like, no. Let's talk strategy. Because everyone's just like staring at it. Like, especially
it's Caleb so uncomfortable.
And Emily, like Sean was blindsided as well. Sean was like, we got this in the bag. That thing's melting. Sean was the one who had the water to dump on it. They had a plan.
He was the water boy. He could not do a left-handed layout.
Jeff's like, hey, that's my job.
Layout. He couldn't do a left-handed layup in this episode, and he was just Sabaya's water boy. And
exactly.
Boy, did that. It was not a good look for Sean.
Great callback. Good Thanks. Stuff. Yeah, no, it was embarrassing. And if it's me, and I guess I'm just being a wuss, I'm playing the idol. I'm sorry. I don't care. I mean, she was completely blindsided, but I'm playing the idol just to say not three more days because it's the
there's more day, idols to be had, people. This is not like it is not like a one and done. There's going to be more advantages out there. So play it even if you have the slightest. I don't think it's a bad thing to play it.
It's one of those things where when you risk it, it's, you know, huge reward. And then when you don't, you're just, you go home with an idol in your pocket. And I saw a tweet today that was like, with the upcoming merge, as we're going to see in next episode of three brand new teams, it's like, let's pour one out for the Lulu tribe, who like three of them never got to vote. Like all these like different things.
They were,
yeah. Never got to vote. Just never. Not once. Like it's fucking insane. Like Sabaya didn't vote. Brandon didn't vote. Hannah didn't vote.
Here's a question I have for you as it relates to our pool.
Okay.
There is a rule this season that if you have a player that successfully plays an advantage, you get a negative point. So that as we've gone over the rules, the less points you have, the better at the end of the season. Do you feel like Sabaya, although she got out tonight, do you feel like you get a negative because she played it in a way that she risked? She took
no,
the risk?
No, I would say if that's the case, then that one immunity idol could technically get her three negative points. It could get her 1 point for risking it once, one for risking it twice. And then when you actually play the idol, no, I would say it's probably playing the idol is the point.
Okay.
I mean, hey, if you want to fight for me and give me that negative point, I would love to. I'm already beat. There's just no way I'm ever going to, unless my final three are the final three, I'm absolutely beat.
Well, yeah, but what if Austin, because you have him as well, what if he also does that same bullshit and he gets negative three even when he gets out? You know what I mean? Well, Sabaya can't. She's gone. Sorry. But negative one.
Maybe.
Whatever. Who cares about this? See ya.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so we'll get to challenges and stuff later, but let's dive into Bello because I really thought this was going to be a huge Bello app for some reason, and it just straight up was not at all. The big Bello takeaway is that like Jake has more favor with the gals than Bruce does. Bruce barely got a single soundbite, not sure he even got one other than him being like kind of a dick during the challenge at the end, during the big puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
I just think those pieces were really heavy and everyone was getting frustrated because it's not as easy as just like doing those little like the tree or the coral or whatever it was. It's like those things were fucking heavy. And then when it's wrong, you got to knock it all down. And that's frustrating. But yeah, I mean, the highlights were Jake having this mini seizure, like losing all of his bones. Him just being like, no, what the fuck, man?
Oh, my God. That was so relatable. Him falling down, getting up and just Kendra saying like, are you okay? And him just being like, no, what the fuck? Like, what's Kendra duty? Like, that as the response is so masculine of him to just like get up and be like, no, what the fuck? Like the earth just spun under my feet and like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like acting like someone did it to him.
And then Kendra, with like this like empathy, took it as a chance to just be like, you know, ever since I watched him do that, I just feel closer to him now.
Yeah, she's like, it took 7 days, but like, I realized that he's human.
Honestly, during the rewatch, he was blowing so hard on the fire so many times. And I'm like, I've been there. Like, I've been to many bachelorettes. I've had to blow
up. Has he ever blown up a balloon?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like, I can light at it. I understand.
So when we watched it last night, I stepped away briefly. Yeah. I did not realize that we were going to go straight into drama after the opening credits, which I do want to talk about actually. So I missed it and I was like, damn it. We couldn't rewind and I missed what happened. So upon second rewatch, watching it, I was like, oh yeah, obviously this guy's about to pass out. Mm-hmm. He's like huffing, puffing, blowing so hard, probably just got lightheaded. And then what you see is you cut to him just like standing upright, like so, like jerking upright. And then what the fuck? It's like, yeah, no shit. The earth spun out under your damn toes.
I mean, they're starving. They're starving. Yeah. He's blowing and then he's breathing in smoke from the fire.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then the only other Bello thing really is that I couldn't tell who the soundbite was from. Who says in the challenge, Bruce is kind of annoying? Was it?
I think it was Kelly. I think it was Kelly.
I saw her mouth move, but maybe they like hyperimposed it like on a certain moment. But I thought it was Kelly as well. But because it was Kelly and Brando that sat out, right?
Yeah. And like, yeah. I think it was her because what is Keturah going to be saying it like while they're in the midst of the challenge? Like, sure. No. And also, yeah. I think Kelly feels tight enough with Brando that she can kind of like make Very some true. Of those comments. Yeah. The feelings I have about Bello are Kendra really emerged to me in this episode as not even just like a camp personality, but she's taking it a lot of leadership in these challenges. She did this like retrieve the key from the hook thing. They sure. put her in charge of that. She was the caller for the puzzle. The moment that stood out to me about her was when we had this weird Bruce Caleb interaction where Bruce is saying like, we got shit to do, move. And Kendra says like, sorry, Caleb. Like she stops calling out to like apologize to the other team, just being like, listen, like, you know, like in a way that's not performative to me. It really felt genuine and just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know how we feel, you know how we're all going through it. And then she also said to Bruce something that I was like, wow, that's really powerful in like asking him to speak to everyone else in a different way. I can't remember the exact like words she chose, but it was like, Bruce, we got to change the way we talk or something like that. It was so simple and just felt like such an articulate way of saying like, what you're doing is not serving us. It's not positive. It's not adding any value to like the situation we're in. Like, find a new way to talk to one another. And I was totally. Like, girl, yes, I love that. I loved it.
I agree with that. I just wish we were getting more from Bello. We're just not because losing anything.
Well, they lost this reward.
Well, they lost, but right? like that, they lost the reward, but they won the immunity challenge. It's like when you lose the reward, sure, but that just meant that Caleb it was honestly the worst to them.
Exactly. It was the worst case. And we talked about this last night that we didn't get a lot of coverage of Bello because even though they lost the reward, I think Lulu and Caleb's decision as the winning tribe to do a camp raid, they could not have selected the losing team. It would have just added further insult to injury and in that like you lost and we're taking something from you and just not been like the vibe to establish camaraderie. And what those raids are really about are a swap of information, like this goodwill thing that we saw. I mean, Lulu said it at Tribal. They were not even able to use any of the equipment that they stole because they have no flint. They took fishing gear. They can't like, what are they going to eat? Raw fish, sushi. So like it was really only to like foster relationships and gain information. So
I can't believe they don't have fire.
It's crazy to me.
Unbelievable.
What are they eating?
Grapes. They love grapes.
No, but before the grapes.
They said, Sabaya said raw papaya. And I don't know that they're finding every papaya coconuts raw? There. I don't know, but she said raw papaya.
She might have meant like unripe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all I got on Bello. I don't really have much more because they're just not getting. But next week with the switch up, it's going to be, I think, phenomenal. I can't wait for the switch up. I have the teams. Do you want me to run through them? I saw spoiler teams
at the end.
Okay. All right. Then let's talk about Reba.
Yeah.
So we talked about entrepreneurship, which was the best. That was like the best thing that came out of this episode, I think, but just word wise. Word of the episode.
100%.
Every episode we'll do word of the episode on three and see if we pick the same word.
Okay. Or phrase. Okay. Because this one, there was a close tie for this one. It could have been four steps down.
Four steps down. Okay. I mean, we might as well just talk about it. So when Caleb goes to raid Reba and takes their fishing gear, whatever. I love, love, love. First of all, I didn't know that Sifu was like, I make my own music. Like all this time, he's like, I do Kung Fu or whatever. Taekwondo.
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Wait, maybe it is taekwondo. No, I don't know what it is.
I think it's Tai Chi. Either way, it's like I do karate and either way, I do layouts.
Yep.
No, so and then all of a sudden he's like, I make my own music to Caleb, and I'm like, is Caleb is a this record gonna be... producer? Why are you saying that now? And then immediately Jay Maya's like, I'm a singer, so Caleb's like, okay, let's do a little something then. Show me a little ditty.
And they break into they, and by they I mean Sifu. Looks at her as if like, you want to do this, you want to go, like, you know, four steps down, right?
Do what we've prepared.
I watched my second read. We always watch with CC. We always watch with closed captioning, because if you're not watching closed captioning, you're missing everything. Missing everything. Mm-hmm. Upon second rewatch, somebody does say, I love four steps down. And I need to know who.
But because that a song?
It does not exist.
Right.
Unlike Chaos of 25, we have done our
charisma.
Chaos is a Dungeons and Dragons thing, I'm pretty sure. You're like, I think so.
Unlike think Chaos so. Of 25.
Tell us if we're wrong, because we know you will. Unlike Charisma of 25, we both did a little research to see if Four Steps Down was, in fact, real.
I can
now, maybe it is talking about like this, like the steps in like an octave. Like maybe you're going, like it's like a vocal warm up exercise. Like,
but
you're
then
going,
why would he be singing up
and four steps down like that? But that's not what they did.
No, they did four steps.
They did four steps down.
Yeah. Julia and I looked at each other immediately and said, this is like
You All Everybody
from Lost, which is the
in-universe
jam of the century. It's the in-universe's like what? Like Call Me Maybe of the their universe. No,
it's
you
so
know what
great
I mean.
Too, because it's like Lost Island. You All Everybody, Survivor Island, four steps down. It just makes fucking sense, people.
He means three doors down is what he meant.
No.
What's a song by Three Doors Down?
If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? Is that it? Is that right?
Kryptonite? I feel like there's one I actually really love.
Yeah, that's Three Doors Down.
It is. Hold on.
That's Four Steps Down for sure. Three doors down and four steps down is four steps down is Sifu's Three Doors Down cover band.
Okay, I have mine. It's I'm here without you, baby, and you're still with me in my dreams.
Beautiful.
Thank you. On TikTok, people call that like divorced dad music, and I love it.
Oh, I mean, it's weird because my married husband loves that music.
Yeah.
Well, and he loves Creed.
We'll see in 10 years.
Thanks a lot.
I'm kidding.
He's going to be up. He's going
to
join us.
Listen
CPU.
To this. He hates us.
He hates us. Okay. I was just rewatching and he was in the vicinity. He would not sit down to like actually fully rewatch with me, but he was sitting and we get to tribal council and I'm like, "Oh, we're about to record." He's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just watch the Flibbies game, the Phillies game. And I'm like, go well, Phillies. Okay, wait, hang on. Just what do you think happens at the end of Tribal Council? And he goes, let me guess. That chick melts her wax candle. She gets an idol. She doesn't play it. And she goes home. He's like, you motherfucker. I'm here without you, baby.
All right, so back to Reba. We barely even talked about them. We just talked about Four Steps Down. But anyway, that's the in-universe for Survivor 45. Four Steps Down is their favorite song. Okay, so Basile and Austin, okay?
Yeah.
So they're digging. But Dee and Mama J are on their tail. Not even meaning to be on their tail. But they're suspicious about them before they even see them digging. And this is like the preview we get of Dee being like, I feel like it's like a husband cheating on me or a boyfriend cheating on me or whatever. And I just thought it was so clever and also stupid that Basile was like, yeah, we saw Sifu digging here. I'm like, that can bite you so fast. All they need to do is say that to Sifu, and then Sifu will be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but they gave him the dodo cut, and they cut to him doing taekwondo on the beach.
He was doing karate. Yeah,
no, here's my feelings about that. It makes sense in the moment. It makes sense in the moment as a quick lie. It does not make sense if Mama J and D are going to go to Sifu and like try to corroborate. It also does not make sense in the way that the rest of this storyline fleshes out, in that Austin and Drew have this genius plan to say, all right, let's tell the girls that we come 80% clean, is what Austin says, that we found the Beware Advantage. They admit to lying. They like basically admit, they don't admit to lying. They say that they found this advantage and they got the message. It told them to dig at the X by the palm trees. If I'm Julie or D, I'm like, well, why would Sifu know that? How would Sifu have known that?
Right.
And you said that you were only here because Sifu was digging. Unless then they just go like, we just said that we weren't sure we trusted you guys. And like, that's not a great look either. So I'm not sure what the rest of that story is, but.
Do you think if Jay Maya didn't walk up on the gals that they would have thought longer about keeping the hammer for themselves? Or do you think that this was the right move regardless? Give the hammer to the boys, get some goodwill with the boys. But I mean, now that there's a merge, yeah, I'd say that it was probably they probably should have kept it, because.
Well, when does this happen? Does this happen at the point that Lulu's already lost? Because I think if it happens. Okay.
No, I was going to say pre-immunity challenge.
If it happens post-immunity challenge, you're right. Because the only content we're getting
is Lulu. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's a good play.
Okay.
I think if they were to take the hammer and hide the rope, I just think it creates more questions and more lies when D said it right, that like the thing that's going to help her at this point in the game is building trust and building alliances. So it's a good move on them. Like, I love that Austin's like, I thought we'd be digging forever. And it's like, all you needed to do is like tell women to help you. And yes. Like, it's the job is done. Fucking idiot.
For real.
They could have. I don't think that it would have done them. I think it would have been absolute like bloodshed war if they hit it. And then I think they'd have to go like girls versus guys.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I hate that they're leaving Jay Maya out of all this. Sifu, I can leave. Jay Maya, I'm like, she's smart.
I need to know why.
When they bring in for the reward challenge and they say, Brandon voted out at the last tribal council, and they shoot to Jay Maya and she's just giggling under her breath. I'm like, she is a superstar. Give her more sound bites. I don't know if she's just not giving. Is she just not giving anything, or
she's not giving?
Are they not giving her a good edit? Because I'm going to be pissed if she goes home like next when Reba or whatever her new team goes to whatever. I hope that she finds new ground with whatever team she's on next. And we'll talk about it, because I have the spoilers at the end of the episode.
I'm ready for her to have a breakthrough moment. I did write this down during the episode, is that we only got one side of this like core four strong alliance, in that we never really got to hear how Sifu and Jay Maya are feeling about this. Like, are they sitting there being like, we feel on the outs? Or are they sitting there being like, we feel really confident that we're with so-and-so and so-and-so? I have no idea.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, why aren't they giving them, are they truly just chilling? They must be just chilling, because what the hell? Sifu's not chilling. Sifu's he's never chilling. Chilled a day in his life.
Wait, I think he's chilling. I think he's by the water chilling.
That's so interesting, because in the first episode, he was like, literally running around looking for idols, chopping down things.
But that
hiding.
To him is gameplay. The social piece is not gameplay to him. Gameplay to him is like, I'm gonna go run through the jungle and find shit, and then I'm gonna go meditate on the beach.
Interesting.
I think.
I mean, how are we supposed to know what they're doing? We just did that.
It's truth as far as I'm concerned, because they've not given us any sort of information for me to believe otherwise.
I don't have much other Reba stuff other than when Caleb goes. So besides 4 steps down, Like, how did you feel about Caleb meeting with everybody one by one?
I thought it was like, I honestly, the like super cut they did of him being like, you have really nice eyes. Like just bullshitting everyone, like being like, I can tell that you're approaching this game with like a lot of clarity. And it's like, I could really work with you. Like all the like little like sound bites he's giving are just so cringe. And like, it just felt like, what are all these people like auditioning for a role? And he's like, and he's the like the casting director.
The casting that director.
They, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It just was weird. I can't believe they like said yes to that.
Yeah. This episode, Mama J says it perfectly. She's like, he's here to raid us, but he's raiding us for information. He's not like, and that's smart. Right. Like she says, like, that's really smart. But Caleb had a target on his back basically this whole episode, and he didn't know it, right? Sophia's putting a target on his back. Sophia and Sean are well aware, and Emily is well aware, that you don't want to sit next to him at the end. He's charismatic. He has a charisma of 50, I'd say.
Oh, I know it.
And
he's an entrepreneur.
He's going to be good at all the challenges. Like they said, did you see him in that challenge today? And then he's walking around. Basile says right away, I knew they were going to send him. Brazil said it right away. I knew they were going to send him because you could tell he's running that tribe over there. That's not a great look. To be running the tribe is not a good look. And for Caleb to be like, Jemiah, Sifu, do a song.
Yeah. And he was like, all right, let's see. Will I book you? It's too hot, too strong, too fast.
Also, again, you know what else we hated in the immunity challenge when he looked at both teams and said, good luck, you guys. Have a good game or whatever the fuck he said.
He was like, good game.
You're about to lose again. Again.
I know, but he like went in really trying to like, maybe that's the way you go when you're like, your back's against the wall and you're like, we could really lose this one again. And I need to just like be nice to these people.
Yeah.
But I hated it.
No, yeah. I still really like Caleb and I think he's a really huge threat. I just think that like for this episode, he's got to like smarten up a little bit because he's putting a target on his back. Two things. Okay. I have a raid question and the goodwill advantage. Would you choose someone who already has an advantage to give the advantage to? Like, I could tell like Caleb is like, you know, Brazil wants to play. And I mean, I guess in my brain, it's like, I guess who is still going to be here by the time the merge matters? And I'm going to want to team up with people. Who should I form a bond with? And I guess he talked to Drew and was like, okay, this guy seems legit. He's a player. He risked his vote and he won it. Like, he's a player. What do you think?
I think there's two ways you can go about this. And I was listening to Rob Cesternino's coverage, and they did talk about this being like, does it make sense? Was it a smart play for Caleb to have given an advantage to somebody because they told you that they already have an advantage?
Right.
And it is a little bit of like tit for tat. Like, you tell me something, I've also got something to tell you, and here it is. And, and what they said in the Rehab podcast was basically, if you identify yourself as a strong player, you want to surround yourself with other strong players. One, because you want to play the game and you want it to be like a fun game and a good game. But two, because you want shields, right? Like, if he were to go for the merge, he's built this goodwill advantage with Drew, with Basile, that he can then use Basile as a shield to be like, well, wait, hang on, you're coming for me. This guy's the real threat. He's got beware advantage. He's got the goodwill advantage. He's got whatever the other one is. What is the other one? Safety without power. So that's one approach that I think you can go. You can also go more of the like little finger route, where you treat chaos as the ladder, and you say, you talk to Basile and you're like, hey, like, give me the lowdown. Who are you tight with? Who's like on the outs? Blah, blah, blah. Maybe Basile shares that he has this advantage, and then you give the advantage to the person that Basile says is on the outs, just to fuck the system up, like just to create chaos in this camp should it come to blows. I think there's just like more variables there and like less control, and this game is all about where controlling what you can. So I think in that instance, Kayla probably made the right decision, but we'll not know until it plays out.
Yeah. The goodwill advantage is an interesting advantage because it's not like he just like handed an idol to someone, right? Like he handed something that will restore a lost vote. And
yeah,
honestly, at this point, Austin needed it. He doesn't need it anymore, but he needed it. So at that point, like the red team doesn't even need it anymore. So it's just something he could keep in his pocket. But in this game, you can lose your vote often. So mm-hmm. I'm sure Jeff will give many people more opportunities to lose their vote. I mean, we're going to have to see that puzzle a million more times. I think they're just going to keep sending people on boats like every fourth episode. I assume they're not just going to send those three once. Like they usually send multiple people over and over again. It's mm-hmm. like the weird thing about the boat. It's like once one person goes, you just know what it is. Yeah. Like you can't even be sneaky about it. So
unless and I can't remember what season that they did this, but there was somebody that kept going back. They sent the same person. Oh, maybe it was like the Redemption Exile Island.
Okay.
The terrible season, they kept sending the same person back because they're like, he's already been, he's already seen it. Like, we don't want any of these other people to have like another advantage. Like, just send the same person back.
So speaking of twists and shit, okay, so there's a raid in this episode. I have a question for you. And I asked this because of Pearl Islands. Now, this one's a little more straightforward. My question is, can you hide things? I know that everyone mostly knows what everyone else has. Like you see them win stuff. You see, you know, you all start with the same stuff. You see them win stuff in challenges. So like hiding stuff is kind of like, I feel like you could just be like, give me your spear and they have to produce your spear. Right. But in Pearl Islands, the twist in the beginning, not to spoil, is season 7. It happens in the first 10 minutes. It's fucking sick. They, like I said in episode 1 of this podcast, because I had just finished watching Pearl Islands, they take all of their clothes and everything, whatever outfits they wore for the promotional shoot, they're wearing. Also, they gave them like a little bit of money and then they send them to the town and they have to barter with people for whatever they can get. So like Sandra was the only one who could speak the language. And was like, Sandra was wheeling and fucking dealing. She was trading.
Love that for her.
She traded a necklace for like a big bucket of chicken, like cooked gorgeous, delicious chicken. And
that's
like
amazing.
So like Sandra's team, because they had Sandra, came back with a boatload of shit, like everything they would ever need. They were fed every day, whereas the other team had absolutely nothing. So in that season, which did have a lot of raids, like almost every episode there was a raid. The winning team got sent to the losing team. It's like, technically, they don't know what we have. Can we hide it? You know what I mean? Like, I've always thought, like, this is a little more straightforward. But back then, it's like, if I got 5 water jugs and 4 bottles of wine, because they did have wine and stuff, it's like, can we just dig a hole, put that stuff in a hole, and then they won't even know we had that?
Yeah, I mean, like, gone are the days of that being a reality in the new era of Survivor. I think
very true.
I think the thing that we're operating under is like this idea of like integrity and like, all right, we know what's on the table. We know, like, even Caleb said it. He said, you know, we've come to, like, it's a raid. We've got to take your fishing gear. And they're like, all the fishing gear. And he's like, technically, yeah, like we are allowed to take the whole set. But what we're going to do is leave the spear or whatever, like, his negotiation is. But no, I don't think you can hide stuff. And I don't think you could take someone's personal items.
Well, didn't you say, like, I'm going to take someone's pants?
Yeah.
Like, I want the, that's a really cool jacket. Give me that jacket. I love
Natalie. Can I have your jacket?
It's like Hollywood, nice sneaker.
I was going more for Angelina asking for Natalie's jacket.
Oh my God.
Iconic.
That was iconic. You know, Emily is kind of giving Angelina in the slightest bit of like, just in episode 1 of like not quite understanding social cues.
Oh, agree.
Like, I feel like Emily's personality episode 1 was more Natalie, but with Angelina, like tinges of Angelina of not knowing the social cues.
And the social cues are everything, my friends.
I mean, that is what this is, but okay, that makes sense. But I was just thinking, like, if they don't know, it's great. So I'm going to hide it.
I mean, at this point, like, everything's been on, like, everything that they have is is common knowledge. The only thing I'm surprised, and I don't think that, that this was like on the table or else Lulu should have fucking taken it, is the Flint. I don't think that they can take the Flint. I think that that's like, this is hard earned in a challenge and that is not up for grabs.
Yeah, that seems obvious because they would have taken that for sure.
Right.
Oh, that sucks. And they put out the torches before they walk back so they can't like bring fire back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blows.
Sucks.
But yeah, I mean, there's really not much else to talk about. We already talked about the final tribal. Incredible blindside. Like everyone was so sad. When Lulu lost the music, we were kept being like, this is devastating. We're sad. Like when Emily gives that speech being like, you guys don't know what it feels like to have to say goodbye to the people that you've like met out here and like learned to love. Like I was like, oh, break it's my heart.
Her face during that challenge and the swell of the music is crushing.
Yeah.
It's crushing. It's like cinematic, honestly.
I mean that, and then at the end when Sabaya is voted out, like they are all sad. They all hug. Mm-hmm. They don't like it sucks.
Who?
They
just get,
yeah. Lulu.
Who?
Lulu.
I love it.
I know. I mean
that is like respect for the game. That is like respect for the game.
That was different than Brandon's exit. Like I had an issue with Brandon being like, look at this. This is so cool. It's Jeff. He's putting on versus Sabaya being like, you know, team spirit. It was a sick blind side, respect for the blind side. You know, like that's the game. It is what it is. Hate to go home with an immunity item in your pocket. But like you said, she gets a little souvenir.
Yeah, she gets a prop.
It sucks. I really thought Sabaya, I thought when I saw her in the first episode, I was like, fuck yeah. Incredible pick by me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she got too cocky, I think. It is just what it is. She was strong in her alliance with Sean. It could have been, you know, it's. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So next week.
Talk to me about spoilers.
Next week, really quick, drop your buffs and.
Drop your buffs. You
know, we're going to be in. They're jumping ship, and the soundbite is Jake saying, I got to jump ship. Thank God I'm a good swimmer.
Oh, my God.
And then, okay, so this is the spoiled tribes for next week. So if you don't want to listen, you can
exit
say
now.
Goodbye now. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. So Lulu, the new Lulu is going to be Caleb. Ooh,
I'm going to write
Keturah.
This down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Caleb, Keturah, Kelly, Bruce, and Jake. So four
right, I knew Bruce
of already bellow. Four of them are already bellow. And then Caleb is going to be the odd man out, which is very interesting. Luckily, Bruce is like the odd man out already. Like Jake, I feel like is already going to turn.
Oh, my gosh. This to me is game changing.
Yeah, I know. So it's four bellow and one Lulu on the new Lulu tribe. Okay. Next is Bellow, which is the new Bellow tribe is Brando, Kendra, Emily, Drew, and Austin. So we've
got Seal and Austin still together.
Correct. So we've got that little alliance still together. And then they've got Emily from Lulu, Kendra from Bellow, and Brando from Bellow. So Emily is the odd girl out. Unfortunately, like there was only three people from Lulu, so there was a chance it would just be one and one. So they have no alliances, you know?
Okay. So then Reba is Julie, Reba. D, Sifu, Sean, and
Jay Maya.
I was like, who did I forget?
Yeah. So that is four Reba and one Lulu. Again, Bella was the one that got mixed up the most. The new Reba. Yeah. I mean, They need D and Julie are going to have to loop in Sean to get out Sifu and Jay or Jay Maya, or Sean could go with the other two. But we don't see, like you said, we don't see Jay Maya and Sifu making a connection. So,
right. They've already had that opportunity. It's interesting to me that of the odds, like all of our Lulu three are split. I was kind of, I don't know why I thought like, oh, it could play out with a 2-1.
Yeah, it could, but.
Let's go through again. And like now that you've laid it out, let's talk like initial guesstimates.
What do you mean guesstimates?
Like I'm saying like who you think's going to vibe with who and what's the move?
Okay. So for Lulu, I think, I mean, it's tough. I think that Keturah and Keturah is going to try and vibe with Kayla because they need the extra vote just in case Jake doesn't want to get Bruce out. You know what I mean? Like, Kelly is losing Brando. So I think Kelly is going to lean towards Keturah now.
I think she's going to lean towards Jake. I don't know why.
I just love Keturah. And
I know you do. Right.
I mean, Kelly had that sound by being like, I'm scared of her.
She's scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's going to lean towards Brake. I think Brake.
That's the
I think
couple
she's going to go for. I think she's going to go for a boys.
Yeah. Kelly, she does seem like a guy's girl.
Yeah.
And Forge.
Bello,
I could see.
Ooh, this is that interesting.
That one's it's all about the Drew and the Austin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one from old Reba to say to Brando, Kendra, and Emily, these two are like inseparable besties. So they could play that. They could. I don't know.
It depends how much Caleb told Emily, right? Because he could. There's a scenario where Caleb went back to camp, told he did. He didn't he say like I gave Drew this.
But I don't know that he knows that him and Austin are besties.
Maybe not, but Emily at least is coming with the information that Caleb supplied her with. And same as Sean. So they all will know that then.
Wait, did Caleb come back and tell the gang about the Goodwill? I don't think so. I think he kept that close to the vest. I think that's like an alliance for down the road, like for him to keep in his pocket.
Oh,
I don't know. I'd have to check that. We have to fact check that.
Okay.
And then again, for Reba, it's all about Sean. I mean, Sean's in a good spot, I think, because it's I
agree.
Doubt.
I think Julian D with Sean, Sifu, and Jemiah, they've already, like we said, not established a connection. That to me is like the clearest way to split. I'm most interested now about how Bella is going to shake out.
Honestly, Lulu is the one where the new Lulu is the one where the old Lulu is in the most trouble because it's four Bellows that mostly like each other. Like Keturah and Bruce don't like each other, but the rest like each other fine. Caleb is the odd man out, really. So it's either going to be Caleb or
Keturah. He's the best of the three. He's the best of the three to be able to navigate that.
Totally.
In my opinion.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I guess it's they picked out of a hat or whatever the fuck, but
yeah.
Do you think they gave them brand new buffs or they had to wear someone's sweaty old buff?
No, they gave them new ones.
Okay, cool.
I know I'm acting like I'm like, yeah, they gave them new ones, you idiot.
I wouldn't want someone's stretch out titty buff.
Titty,
you know
like
what I mean?
Rag.
All you do rag. Is like sweat and like cry into it all night.
Oh my God.
Bugs and dirt and
bugs
shit
and
all over
shit
it.
And discharge and shit.
I think that's a gorgeous place to end.
Me as well.
Any final thoughts on the episode?
Austin is your beast.
Okay. Yeah, there it was. If you waited this long for the inside joke, I why did I even say that?
You just said, like, he came on screen and you're like, that's my beast. And I was shook.
I think I was like,
core.
He's a beast. And I was like, he's my beast.
Oh, that could have been it. I hated it.
Oh my God. He's my
And then
beast.
By the end of the night, you're calling Alex your beast. And I'm like, I gotta go.
That's my girlfriend.
She's your beast.
She's my beast. Beauty and my beast. Yeah, no, I don't have very much to say. That was a great episode. Very entertaining. Next week, we're not going to be watching together. So we will be like really fresh on like what our word of the episode was or phrase of the episode. It'll be like, cause we won't have vibed each other during it. So it'll be a great test of our friendship.
It's going to be like 2 hours long, 3 hours, maybe
the episode,
the next week's. Cause
yeah,
we
have
so much
to catch up on life too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. That's the episode. Go follow us at Bingetown TV on Spotify, Apple, you know, subscribe. That's our main feed. You won't miss anything. We're currently doing Gen V. We just finished One Piece and Wheel of Time. We're doing Fall of the House of Usher, which fucking slaps my ass. That just dropped today. And so Bingetown TV is the main feed. But if you're listening on the Survivor feed, hit fucking subscribe so you can hang out with us week by week. And yeah, that's the episode and Boosted
Dance. You all, everybody. You all, everybody.
All right. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.